You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Sunday's edition, where we have three cards on Sunday afternoon, with listed action over at Chester, racing on the turf at Market Raisin, and the final day of the Galway Festival over in Ireland. It's Michael Wood and Tom Morley in the studio here to look at the best of the action on Sunday at Chester and Market Raisin. And remember that Racing Radio will be live from 1:45 p.m. on Sunday to cover all the action. It's Naz Premji, Paddy Aspel and Mick Norton, your studio team. But before we look at Sunday's action, Tom, good to see you. You were in the Racing Radio studio yesterday.
Yep.
For what was a very eventful day at Goodwood.
Yeah, plenty of good action yesterday and some really decent performances. I would say Batash is probably the horse that would have really come out of it as the one to, well, just follow for a good while yet. I mean, I have to be honest, I've been sort of dissing him a bit up to now and trying to pick holes in him, but really after yesterday's performance, which was just against different horses to perhaps what he'd beaten so far. I mean, you know, Profitable and Marshall coming second and third, so it's not like they've underperformed, and Patash put them to the sword, so you can't really fault that effort. And it wasn't at Sandown, so very impressive, and clearly going to be a danger to, in the Nunthorpe and possibly in the Abbey later on as well.
Yeah, clearly it was a very impressive performance in the King George Stakes. And speaking of the Nunthorpe Stakes, it sets up a very interesting tie with Lady Aurelia, who is at the current 6-4 favourite, Tom. Batash now 5-2. How do you see that one panning out?
I think a lot will depend on what the ground is at York. Quite often recently, it's been fairly soft and wet and miserable that week. And in that case, Batash has shown clearly some aptitude for being able to go on some with some give underfoot. So whereas Lady Aurelia, one would assume, and I think just generally it would be the truth, would want it as quick as possible. So I think that the ground and the weather will be definitely a major sort of key to that one. If it was just proper good fast summer ground, if we ever have any of that, which is rare, I would still be with the American horse, to be honest.
Yeah, should be a very interesting tie indeed. Elsewhere at Goodwood, Tom, it was also a very good day for Ryan Moore, who landed a very impressive treble in the opening three races at Goodwood.
That's right, he started off brilliantly, didn't he, with Poet's Word in the first, who was workmanlike, but you couldn't really fault it. I mean, actually, the horse I thought that ran the best race in many ways in that race was Scarlet Dragon, because it wasn't well placed, a long way behind the front pace setters, and had to make up a lot of ground, and that was a pretty impressive performance. But poor old Scarlet Dragon does slightly fall in that not really quite good enough for group races, but too high for handicap section of the racing game. But then, yeah, Ryan Moore got beat the bank, was super impressive. Couldn't fault that one at all. I mean, that just quick and clear really nicely once the gap came. And good old Master of the World finally popped up in a nice big handicap there. And I think, you know, he waited and then came up that far rail and probably... I wouldn't say it was the smallest gap in the world, but the fact that the horse had to think about it and had to manoeuvre himself through there probably helped, because he was still thinking, you know. But no, a great start to the day. He couldn't make it a four-timer on the forever-backed Washington DC, who continues to... They just back at every race. And I'm yet to see why he's good enough to beat the very best, because he just doesn't beat them. But maybe one day. But you're getting poorer if you keep backing him. So, no, great day for Ryan Moore, certainly.
And were there any other highlights for you for the Friday's action at Goodwood?
You can't fault Al Jarzy, obviously following up from last year. Much shorter price this time. They weren't going to let it go off a double-figure price or anything like that, like they did last year. But that was a pretty taking performance. And Walton Street in the last, you know, Londinium had obviously won earlier in the week and put up a really brave performance to come back again. But Walton Street, very unexposed. And we've got a horse later on today running that finished behind it in the Pontefract Maiden, which I have napped today. today being Saturday, of course, when we're recording it.
So, yeah, best of luck with that lap selection. Well, Tom, let's move on to Sunday's action. We're looking at three races at Chester and one at Market Rasen. Obviously, we're going to include the listed race at Chester, the 4:15, the Queen's Ferry Stakes. But we'll begin with the 2:35 at Chester, which is a conditioned stakes race. It's a Class 2 event involving the two-year-olds. It goes over 6 furlongs and 17 yards. 6 runners in the field, so it's not the biggest. In terms of this small field then, Tom, which of these stand out for you?
Very tricky race, not helped by the fact that the top horse, Rufus King, actually did run at Goodwood on Friday, and not particularly well, it has to be said, whether that was due to the give underfoot. So you've got to take a chance, first of all, that one's going to be reappearing that quickly. And obviously there'll be question marks about why it did perhaps underperform on the Friday. So the horse I actually like in the race is the bottom horse, Regulator. Gets weight from all of its rivals. Colt was an expensive Cheveley Park purchase at the Breeze Ups. Cheveley Park bought quite a few horses at the Breeze Ups, which raised a few eyebrows. Caught the eye on its debut behind a horse called Gaiad. Now that horse has actually flopped a couple of times since, but it was nevertheless a really one to follow. It would have gone in plenty of notebooks that day, and it confirmed the promise when winning nicely at Ayr. Can't help but feel he's very much learning on the job as he's going along, and I think there's plenty to come from this horse, both now in this race and in the future. Rufus King, as I say, has been kept busy since his debut in May, notched a couple of wins in that time, Pontefract, and then a good race at Ascot where he beat the second horse here, Dragon's Tail would be the number two horse, but he beat that at Ascot, and on the weights should confirm that, but then you're offsetting it with the Goodwood performance, which tempers the enthusiasm, which has made me pass over Rufus King here. Dragon's Tail has the benefit of winning at this track before at Chester, which is obviously a big plus. And it was a decent run at the Royal Meeting, but I think that one needs to find more to really get to Regulator, especially with the weight difference here. Ulshaw Bridge is going the right way, but I think needs to find more to be competitive. Hadass only contested 6 furlongs once, which was a no-show at Ascot. Vichy listed third. Hard to weigh that form up. I'll pass that one over. I'm in the weak Newcastle race that Hadass won. You know, should have won that. And Presbury Park, to be honest, that's a more interesting runner for Mark Johnson. Short price on Ascot debut, but only beat one home. Perhaps he raced 2-3, and he showed that to be all wrong by sluicing up at Haydock last time on the second outing. Expect more improvement to come from that one as well, but I think getting the weight, and I think for this race and for the future, Regulator's one to watch.
So Regulator the pick in the 2:35 at Chester. Let's move on to the 3:10, which is a Class 2 handicap involving 8 runners in the field. It goes over 1 mile, 6 furlongs and 87 yards. Again, not the biggest of fields, Tom, but who gets the vote for you?
Yeah, I mean, and for, you know, a 50 grand added race, it's a shame perhaps there aren't a few more, but certainly some decent horses in here. I like Here and Now. Never really got into it at this track, Chester, last time, but I think the race was probably not run to suit that day. Go back one more run, and we know he handles Chester's demands, because beat Stradivarius here, and that's really strong form with what that one's done since. Runs off a £10 higher mark than that win, but still should be very competitive, and I can see him bouncing back to form. Main rival, I guess, would probably be the top horse, Zenon. After one run last year at two, has been really progressive at three, second at Newmarket, followed by winning a maiden at Chepstow. Up to this trip on handicap debut at Haydock, ended up winning very comfortably there, going away £7 higher. Shouldn't stop him if handling the demands of this track. But I'm just a little bit cautious as whether he'll handle the track brilliantly. There's a chance he could get a little bit behind, especially if a horse like something like Mr. Manduro serves it up to them, and whether Zenon will quite get into the race. That would be my concern with that one. Mr. Manduro himself hasn't won this season. Came last behind Zenon, in fact, last time. But then ran really well the other day at Ascot. Would have been last week. Came second behind UAE King. Easier ground there, and perhaps that's a key to this horse. Been running over fast ground a lot of the season, but I think it's still a big ask for that one to perhaps serve it up to Here and Now. Nadetak won his maiden at third time of asking at Carlisle. Good second on handicap debut at Sandown behind Joshua Reynolds. Connections reach the cheek pieces here, which suggests they probably think it's holding a little bit back, so maybe we'll see a slight improvement from that, but I still fancy Here and Now to beat that. And Tor you can't knock this horse. Really game gelding. Served it up to Hochfeld a couple of runs back. Form which reads well against some of the other horses in this race. Made all stay clear. Tried the same tactic at Ayr, but had to give second best to Dubawi 50 last time. Should make a bold effort. So you can see there might be a bit of pace here, because that's another one that will like to go forward. But I just can't help but think a couple of the others shouldn't be able to improve past that one. And with full respect to 20 times, Cray and Amelia's Dream, you know, they're likeable horses, but I think they need to show more to figure in the finish.
So Here and Now, the...
Here and Now, definitely the selection, yeah.
The vote goes to Here and Now for the 3.10 at Chester. Let's move on to the final race of our preview in terms of the Chester races, and it's the big one of the day. It's the listed race. It's the Queen's Ferry Stakes. 9 run in this field, Tom. And there's plenty of appeal for a lot of these. Which one stands out for you?
Quite a few of them would probably have the best form over 5, which would be a slight concern for me. Where I've ended up going is with Kimberella, who's continued the form, good form, always did have under the handling of Dandy Nichols since the move to Richard Fahey. Mopped up the all-weather sprint title, so 6 furlongs is no issue. Seems versatile ground-wise, and any horse can be forgiven flopping at Jaggers Row in Sweden, which is where it came last time. You know, that's a strange track at the best of times, so I'll write that one off completely. You know, you've not only got the track, the travelling and everything, plenty of reasons to allow a horse, I think, to flop there. Has continued in form generally all year, can cope with Chester demands, just seems a really strong, I think, safe option against, as I say, there's a few like Cotai Glory. You know, this has been feeding at the top table most of the time in the last 2 seasons, and this definitely represents a drop in class. You know, Palace House, Temple, Kingstand and City Walls this year is where it's been. You know, this definitely a down in grade. Third last time at York, broke badly, which is a no-no at York, and that's a great run. Drawn 2, he mustn't do that again here for a start. But then you've got a slight question mark over the 6 furlongs. I know Chester, people might think that 6 furlongs here is easier than some tracks, but, you know, it would worry me that basically this horse's form is primarily on 5 furlong, and, you know, that would put me off a bit. And I think Kimberella, therefore, is a safer option. Judicial, lightly raced 5-year-old, cracking record, 9 wins from 20 starts, 7 from 13 on turf. But the hat trick it notched up this summer at Pontefract here, so we know he handles Chester, and Beverly. You know, just behind Cotai Glory last time at York, where I didn't really have to run a race, being rather isolated. But again, the best form is 5 furlongs, and that does concern me slightly. Also, I'd have a slight concern about perhaps the ground for that one as well. It's a bit softer than good, and most of that horse's best form is either on the all-weather or on faster ground. There's a few others in the race that are perhaps hard to fancy. Totally Gracious John, become more of an all-weather performer than turf. Unabated track record breaker at Newcastle in March, but didn't appreciate Newmarket last month. You've got to wonder if that's an all-weather horse. Avon Breeze, good year, but just shouldn't be good enough. Clem Fandango as a 2-year-old, best forms over 5 furlongs against these seasoned campaigners. Even with the 3-year-old filly allowance, I don't know. I can't quite have that one either. And it's been kept to France for the 2 runs this year at Maison Lafitte, so that's quite hard to weigh up. Perfect Angel, again, another one gets the 3-year-old filly allowances. And the second to Magical Memory, 2 runs back at Newbury, bolt out of the blue, but good form. But you've got to question that anyway before the last place at Goodwood, albeit that was 7 furlongs. So I can't have that either. Kimberella just seems a very solid option in that race.
So Kimberella, the one to look out for in the listed race at Chester, the 4.15 Queen's Ferry Stakes. Well, let's move over to the jumps action at Market Race. And we're going to be looking at the 3 o'clock handicap chase here, which goes over 2 miles, 3 furlongs and 34 yards. 6 runners in the field here. Tom, what would be your best bet?
I like Red River Man. Now, £9 higher than actually when Domtaline, who opposes here, although Domtaline did run again quite recently, so whether that would 100% turn up might depend on how it's come out of that race. Now, Domtaline beat him at Cartmel. Now, that was Red River Man's debut in cheek pieces, and he hadn't run for a long time, so he probably did need that. And since the cheek pieces have gone in, obviously second there, notched up a couple of victories, Utoxeter and Stratford, clearly in great heart, going the right way. No reason why he won't stay this trip. And as he probably needed that first run, you know, he's not far off already having notched a hat trick, I think. And I can see him doing that here. Domtaline disappointed this week, well, a couple of days ago now, back over hurdles, and sent straight back chasing his we've just talked about as one at Cartmel, beating Red River Man. £6 higher here. Hard to see him keeping ahead of that horse, I think. I just think there's Red River Man's improving, whereas Dom Toline's been there, done it, and is what it is. Trafalgar Rock, cheek pieces put on for this third effort over fences. Beaten favourite both times, so I guess they're probably expected more. But I've actually thought he's took a step back last time, maybe hence why the headgear's gone on. But that's raised question marks for me about that one. McCabe Creek lost a shoe last time, but even when he has them all, he doesn't win. So I can't have that. Innocent Girl, 4 from 9 for this yard, 3 from 6 chasing. Had a warm-up over hurdles last month, but was a short price that day, and I suspect whether half of it was trying to take advantage of the lower hurdle mark, but they've tried that before and it didn't work before either. Probably just a better chaser. But I would be thinking this could be vulnerable now off this mark. And the bottom one, Mill Nautique, only won once. And although a few placed efforts, one of the best races being second here last time. Again, I just can't have that one. It just doesn't look like a winner waiting to happen. I think Red River Man's on the up. And that's fairly different to most of these.
So Red River Man gets the vote from Tom for the 3 o'clock handicap chase at Market Race. Well, Tom, can you just recap your selections for the four races that we've previewed, please?
So at Chester, 2:35, we've got Regulator. In the 3:10, Here and Now. In the 4:15 at Chester, Kimberella. And then over at Market Race and in the 3 o'clock, Red River Man.
Well, those are the thoughts of Tom Morley. Thank you very much, Tom. And remember that Racing Radio will be live from 1:45pm on Sunday to cover all the day's racing action. Tom, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.